Hello and welcome to the first episode of Scientists in the Pub. I'm Andy Roast and I'm in the senior common room in Imperial College to talk to Dr. Duncan Casey. Duncan's currently working as a postdoc at the Institute of Chemical Biology here at Imperial. And he's working on cancer diagnosis technology that will work on a single cell level. Would you mind telling us a little bit about what your research is and what you're looking for?
Sure. If your doctor thinks you've got cancer or suspects you might have it, what you tend to get is a biopsy. You've got maybe, a million cells for a figure, of which only maybe a couple of dozen might be dangerous, might be diseased. So do you get to see any signal at all? Because it might just disappear into the background. What you really, really want to do is look at one cell from what you think is a dangerous bit and one cell from the healthy tissue next door and look to see what's different. Not only can you make a better diagnosis that way, but you can potentially look at targeting treatment specific for the type of cancer somebody has, rather than giving somebody a broad spectrum poison, which is how chemotherapy currently works.
So it's a way of looking at the single cancerous cell.
Yeah.
You then know exactly what the cancer is and you can treat it better.
Yes. You've got suddenly much, much more power in your analysis. You know that you're not looking at broad spectrum averages where everything's been smoothed out to nothing. You can see exactly what each cell is doing at any given moment. On the downside to do that, you need what you might describe as a small toolkit.
How do you know what cells to look at? So you've got this sample of a million cells. How do you know that, you know, these cells over here are going to be the cancerous ones, or the ones we look at?
For the purposes of the experiments we do, we have a pot full of cancerous cells, which makes it nice and easy. In a patient, the idea would be that what you do is a thing called positron emission tomography. It's a kind of medical imaging technique, and it's very, very good at picking up just the hot cell in a cancer. So there's a little dangerous bit in the middle that's going absolutely bonkers, and that's the bit you care about. So what you want to do is get a sample from that, and then you know it's a dangerous bit. And so the real power of this is going to be able to say, you have this kind of cancer that fits into this group, responds well to this treatment, which means we don't need to poison you with all the other stuff on the way to find that out. I mean, you'll have heard of personalised medicine, probably. This is trying to develop the tools to do that with.
My next question, what do you really enjoy about working here and being a researcher?
Okay.
Is there anything you particularly love about your job?
Some days it's like working in a $10 million crash. Fundamentally, we get a big box full of expensive and often suicidally dangerous gadgetry to play with.
Kids at the toy shop.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. It's the world's biggest, scariest Meccano set to make what is fundamentally the world's smallest toolkit ever. Because the things we're trying to manipulate are so small and so delicate and the volumes of fluid involved are so tiny, we have to pick them up using laser beams. So it's properly Ghostbusters. And so I've got the world's most expensive etch-a-sketch. It's brilliant.
It's quite Star Trek as well, I guess. You know, tractor beams.
That's exactly what it is.
How far away is this technology? Is this something that could be used in the future?
It's going to be hospital-based stuff for the foreseeable future. The level of technology you need means it's a fairly big gadget, even though the stuff you're working with is tiny. At the minute, it's also very complicated. The idea is that as we progress, it'll get less complicated as we can automate more and more steps, which means you don't need a specialist to run it anymore. At the point at which you can get a robot to do it all, then yeah, there's no reason why it shouldn't be rolled out in a big way. The difficulty at the moment is that because no one's done it before, no one knows what the answers should be. So when we look for a particular protein, say, if we do it 30 times in a row and it only works twice in that, does that mean that only two of those 30 cells had that protein in? Does it mean that our experiment isn't working, or that our readout isn't working for some reason? Are those cells just a bit weird today? We don't know, and no one knows who the answer should be because no one's ever done it before.
Will it be a big field of research when the technology's been developed?
Personalised medicine is going to be massive. Certainly with things like cancer, where the broad spectrum drugs really aren't very good for you. The less of those you can take and the more targeted you can make those, the better it is for everybody. Particularly as the kind of detection technology matures, as the antibody technology matures. So that's one of the things that holds us back the most, is that these things are designed to work on a bulk scale with huge amounts of sample, relatively. Whereas when you need single molecule detection, you have to be able to count each one as it comes out through the turnstile, you need really, really high precision, really high quality stuff. And a lot of the time, it just doesn't exist yet. At the point at which it does, it's going to be massive. Pregnancy testing kits work on a really well-established antibody combination, and you can see how widespread those are. You can make that on a dipstick, on a strip of paper, and suddenly you could diagnose a dozen different diseases by spitting on it.
Less trips to hospital, less expensive inpatient visits, and it'll be big.
The best bit about it is that you can start to monitor your own diseases at home if you've got a chronic condition. So again, if you think about how a diabetic monitors their blood glucose the whole time, they can keep track of their own disease. They don't have to go and bother a doctor or a specialist if they don't actually need to.
I guess it means they'll get warning before it's too late as well, so they can go earlier to the doctor.
That's it. I mean, I'm working on a side project at the moment to develop really, really small, really miniaturized and really kind of cost-effective personalized diagnostic equipment. And what we've tried to do is actually build it so it's connected to the internet, or either through your mobile phone or your laptop or whatever. And that means not only does your patient on the ground get the information they need at the time of sampling, but you can beam the data back to the doctor without ever thinking about it. So while you may think that these levels are okay, he can see a trend in the raw data that might mean something is going badly wrong that you aren't aware of yet.
Thank you very much. You've been listening to Scientists in the Pub with me, Andy Roast, and Dr. Duncan Casey, and I'll see you next time. Yeah, yeah.